with the exorbitant, the big, anyways, big prices. So if you like coffees, it is for you. But if you like Maxwell House and Folgers, still. Anyways, anyways. All right, Joshua chapter 9. There we go. Okay, we've been going through the book of Joshua, and as we've been going through the book of Joshua, we've seen Israel's journey of faith as they go toward the promised land. And over the last couple weeks, we've considered the thrill of victory. Just you. There we go. We went from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat when they go from Jericho to Ai, and they have the defeat there. But then they go to the thrill of victory once again, because once they were there, they found out, you know, they the victory in Jericho. They go to Ai, and they got their overconfidence and everything, and they learned that their failure was a result of their failure to consult God and to consecrate themselves. However, as I go through these passages, it mirrors our life so many times. We have the thrill of victory. We have the walls come down, but and when we head to Ai, what do? We consult God, and we have Achan, and fall on his face before God and said, he started falling into the disbelief and sin of all the other people. And God says to him, what? Get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. Achan, and God puts the nation of Israel through the sieve and gets it all the way down to Achan, right? And he comes to Achan, and he says to Achan, give glory to God, tell us what you have done. You have troubled all of Israel. Now, we have the sin of commission that Achan did, and we talked about that last week. But there was also the sin of what? Why was there failure at Ai? Not because of Achan's sin, but why was there failure at Ai? Because the leaders didn't consult God. If the leaders, Joshua, and I'm a leader, and again, remember I've said, this is the part of the story I'd like to leave out. Okay? But if the leaders had consulted God, if they had gone before the Lord and asked God again for the battle plan, like God had given them the battle plan of Jericho, in which he would have done that ahead of time, then they would have found out what? There was sin in the camp, and they shouldn't go. And so sin would have been eradicated, the people would have been consecrated, and they would have had victory upon victory rather than the defeat that came on the heels of the victory. And so they had victory again. And here they are, they're excited. Now what we read last week, and I want to bring up, because this passage a little bit, at the end of chapter 8, if you turn to the end of chapter 8, now Joshua built an altar to Yahweh Elohim of Israel in Mount Ebal, As Moses, a servant of Yahweh, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron's tool, and they offered it burnt offerings to Yahweh and sacrificed peace offerings. And so they go to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and they declare the blessings and the curses just as they were supposed to do. Okay, we don't have time to go into that detail, but this is important stuff, okay? Because what we read in the very beginning then, that of chapter 9, verse 1, is that the kings of the Canaanites heard things, okay? And so what we're going to talk about now is the reaction of the Canaanites. The first thing of their reaction, instructions, they heard about what happened in Jericho. Clearly, that would have made the night in the news, yes? The walls of the city come down, there was a people who attacked them. Did Jericho have a lot of military arms? They didn't. How do we know that? Because it was the few people who had a sword that were what? Up front. The rest of the army had nothing. Okay? And so the walls come down, and they storm it, and they take it. An amazing thing. Right? And then I'm sure they heard about the failure at Ai, right? And they're probably thinking what? Yes, we have a little bit of opportunity here. Maybe the magic powder wore off. Maybe it was just a fluke in Jericho, whatever. Israel gets their head back on straight, right? They destroy Ai, but they also destroy Bethel. Probably there was some notification of what happened to Achan as well. I'm sure there are spies that were out there that were checking them out. This is a military thing. You know, I always think that it's so funny that how people on with the United States. We think that, you know, that we're good and we have all this intelligence, but they are able to do some of the things that we're able to do in the counterterrorism and all the kind of stuff. But it comes out that we're listening into the conversations of the other country thing or seeking to do the same thing. This is war. Okay, this is all war stuff. And so anyways, so the other countries, the Canaanites, you know, I'm sure they've got their observation listening posts set up to find out what's going on with Israel, okay? And so they see the family that's destroyed, you know, they're stoned, they're burned, they're buried, right? What happens? Israel goes to war again and wipes out Ai and Bethel, and the next thing that happens is the dedication of the land. They come and they fulfill the word that Yahweh had given to Moses, that when they come into the land, this is what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to consecrate to Yahweh with the blessings and the curses. They were going to come between Ebal and Gerizim. I promise you, you're going to see this in just a few moments here. The people knew the words of Moses. This is really exciting stuff. Your enemy knows the word of God. When Satan came to attack Jesus, what did he attack him with? The word of God. Jesus had to respond with what? The word of God. How good are you? Do you close the door on the Latter-day Saint, the Mormon, when they come? Do you close the door on the Jehovah's Witness when they come? God just sent somebody who's walking in darkness to your house for you to be able to give them light, and you close the door on them. Shame on us. Shame on you. It's the opportunity for you to step on the porch and to clear light. You don't have to be antagonistic with them, but you ought to know. You ought to be ready, Peter says, what? To consecrate the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to what? Answer a defense for the hope that is within you for everyone who asks you. Well, they came to your door, they're asking for it, okay? So you go out and you're ready to give them the answer for the hope that's within you. Now, that's just straight there. But what about the person? Lowe's, or in Walmart, or wherever. Asks what you why opportunity to praise God, just in Home Depot because someone noted Andrew being very honoring and polite to me. You know, we were at the thing and the counter, and I need him to go run and grab something. He brought it back. Yes, sir, I get it, and it came back, and da 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 da. And the man said, just noted it to me, and I'm able to bring it back to the Lord. This is a blessing of God and stuff like that. And he wanted to be a believer, so we were able to rejoice in the Lord together. But numerous times, my family, they are my ministry. This is my ministry tool, okay? How many times God has allowed my kids to be the opportunity, the open door? Well, are you ready then to be able to give the gospel of Jesus Christ? These people knew, okay, the Canaanites knew. Well, the object of the reaction? To fight against Joshua and Israel. They are all together on this. They're one word, they're going against them. But as we're going to see in a couple weeks from now when I come back from Canada, not only are they of one accord to fight against Joshua and Israel, but they're going to be one accord to fight against Gibeon for what's going to go on in the rest of the message. Reality is, they're not fighting against Joshua and Israel, are they? Why will they ultimately want to fight against Gibeon? Because Gibeon made an alliance, an allegiance with who? Joshua and Israel. And what does that mean? They're allies with Israel. Keep going. Go to step. What did... I hate when I have a brain in my moment. The harlot of Jericho. Rahab, thank you. What did differently than all the others in Jericho? She took action in the one true God of Israel. They were all fearful. All understood that it was the God of Israel, but only Rahab. What are these unwilling to do? Now, I say that to say, it's going to sound like I'm, well, this is war, okay? The Gibeonites, the Gibeonites. What, we'll talk about the Gideonites, no, when we get the Judges. But the Gibeonites, they were aware of the league being established by the kings. When the Gibeonites found out going on with the league of the kings, right? Because they're going out and they're binding everybody together. They've got a decision to make. They are now stuck in a wedge. They've got to choose sides. We're all in a place where we got to what? Choose a side. Now, what are some of the things they knew? They knew that the league was the path to certain destruction. Think about this. How many other kings have stood before Israel? Zero. Not even the huge walls of Jericho could protect the Jerichoites. The walls came tumbling down, right? I mean, they didn't, no battering ram, you know. None of this happened. They and then they went, and the wall, and then he took it over. So if that happens, and I'm a Gibeonite, I'm thinking to myself, I got a pretty strong city, but it's not anything like Jericho. They're probably only going to walk around us three times. I mean, I haven't got an idea why it was so many times, but I'm thinking it doesn't take as many walking going on here, right? They knew that. They also knew that Israel would not make an alliance with them. See, this is what they've stated themselves. When they come down and Joshua says, why did you do this to us? Why did they know that Israel wouldn't make an alliance with them? We'll get to that in a moment. Yet they knew that what? Their only hope was to have an alliance with Israel. So you put yourself, this is war, you put yourself in your situation. To fight against Israel is certain destruction. But Israel won't make an alliance with you. What are you going to do? They did, in war, what was going to be their best shot. They went with a ruse. Let's see whether they'll buy off on this one. Let's put on some old clothes. Let's take some stale bread. Let's take some dried out wineskins and say that we're from a far off country. Now you think about this. They said, Joshua says, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from a far off country. What's the next question you should have asked? Where? So we're near. They didn't ask the question. Why? Because we're told that they what? They didn't consult the Lord. They went from the thrill of victory to the agony of feet, back to the thrill of victory, back to the agony of defeat. Lesson that they had learned, they had quickly forgotten. And I ask myself, how often does that happen to Bob? How often do I forget the lessons that God has graciously taught me? Sometimes he's taught me. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, George, actually. Where's Gerald at? George. I was talking to George and talking about, you know, in the construction world that some of the best lessons are the most expensive lessons, you know, because when they're more expensive, you tend to pay more attention to what happened there, right? You know, and so you're not going to what? You're not going to repeat that lesson. So on Friday, what we're doing is just replacing doors, right? That thing back because I hadn't put all my notes on it. We were at that house once and I had a couple guys working for me, not my kids. Anyways, and they were all cut wrong. And so, but that's okay. It cost, okay? But I what? I learned that we're not taking all the doors off at one time. Door off at a time, measuring it, making sure what that thing's going to be. So when we put it back up, that door's fixed. You learn lessons. Okay, well, Israel is struggling with learning their lessons. The Midianites, on the other hand, they're learning lessons from other people. And so they go out. Now, we can condemn them because but not Rahab. They left. You for them. Since we read about Rahab, I'm not here to condemn lying and all that kind of stuff. But in warfare, there is subterfuge that goes on. What I see is a city of leaders, if you would, of great faith. It all depends on how you interpret this. They believed in God's word to Israel. They believed that Israel, in other words, if they thought an inkling, all the, I mean, think about it. This isn't going to just be one city coming against them, but the kings of Canaanites are doing what? They're banding everybody together. This is war, you know, negative one, okay? Okay? They are going to bring everybody together against Israel, okay? Because they know that they're not going to do it alone, so they're going to band all together to fight against Israel. And Gibeon realizes what? It's a losing cause. There is no way. I see that, if you would, okay? Allowed their ruse to be exposed. Chose not to. Again, God is what? Sovereign. Okay? And so I'm not here to bring this stuff out so that you think about what's happening here, okay? Because even when Joshua comes back to the Gibeonites, he wants to blame them for their failure. But we're ultimately in the Israel not consulting. Do you get it? We written for our learning. Than learning from the past. And I'm looking at our country with all the decisions we're making, we're just having history repeat itself. The rise and the fall of the Roman Empire is happening right amongst you. Okay? It's just an amazing thing. We don't get it. We think we're better than everybody else, and things that happen to other consequences that happen to other people won't happen to us. They do happen to us. Forget Israel, or forget the United States for a moment. What about Family Bible Church? Prayer and fasting. Jesus said this kind only comes through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting and wanting his direction. It's not just for me. It's not just for Steve. It's for us. As an assembly seeking God's will, wanting what he wants. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. He's given it to us. He's placed us in the midst of this field. Do we want to see it? Do we want to see our neighbors come to know Christ? Are we seeking his glory? As we enter into, if you would, using the illustration, the promised land, the journey of faith, are we going to glorify God by seeking his face, or are we going to continually stumble because we want to do it our way? They were with the command of Yahweh to Moses. They said, we know the command for you. Amazing? They knew the word of God. The word of God. All oral tradition. This is all word-of-mouth stuff. But God's word is being spread. And these enemies of God know the word of God. What I love about Key Radio, it's just like it is in Africa, just like it is in Asia. You put the word of God out there. And then you trust in God to do what? For the people who need to hear it, to hear it. Okay? So we move on. The execution of the deception. We have the craftiness of the Gibeonites. They put on this huge, intricate ruse, right? I mean, They thought this process through. Now, again, the most costly lessons are the what? Most powerful lessons, right? What did they knew? What did they knew? That's good. What did they know was waiting for them in just a few weeks at best? Certain destruction. Do you think that if you were notified today of cancer and you had 2 weeks to live, it would change your life for the next 2 weeks? It shouldn't, but it does. We should be doing everything every day. Opportunity for someone to tell me that I have 2 weeks to live, or 4 weeks to live, or whatever. I may actually be in that car crash, and psh, it's done. So, like you've been given that notice, because you have. This, I don't know the day or the hour, okay? But, that, how much preparation and all this other kind of stuff would go, those decisions would be. They have a death sentence upon them. They know, they believe it. Even more than Israel does at times. Isn't that amazing? How unbelievers believe the word sometimes more than believers believe it? That shouldn't be. So they go ruse, making sure that every part of it is played out just right. I'm sure they can enter to them from a different route, too. From Gibeon. I'm sure they took a long direction. And note in it as well, they don't say anything about Jericho or Ai or Bethel. Why do you think that's so? Because if they said something about them, then they wouldn't have been what? So far away. At the best, they would have said, and as we entered into the land, we found out that they're gone too. And so, da-da-da-da. But they mentioned nothing about them so that they could say that when the eyes of our city heard about these things, that was us. We know that it's been a period of time, because remember when they came in, they stopped and they had the circumcision and they had the celebration of Passover. And then they walked around Jericho for 7 days. And then there was a period of time in between they went to. So there's been a period of time, okay? There's been at least a month or two. That the minute we heard about it, the leader sent us. And so we left. The bread was warm. It was just out of the oven. Why? It was a whopper, okay? And these wineskins, they were fresh. Was that a lie? It was a whopper. But there was preservation that was happening. The foolishness of the Israelites. As intricately as the ruse was for the Gibeonites, it could not have won. It could not have worked. Unless Israel allowed themselves to be duped. Paul tells Timothy to be earnest, diligent, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That Jehovah Witness, when that Mormon comes to your door, do they proclaim to believe the Word of God? Yes, they do. Do they come in Jesus' name? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Do they come with the gospel? Yes, they do. Do they come in the power of the Spirit? Yes, they do. See, oh, you're looking at me like, huh? But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for just as Eve was deceived by the serpent in the garden, so you may very well be deceived. For if someone comes in with another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel, you may very well. This is not a marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into be an angel of light. Therefore, it's no wonder. Whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to come in Jesus' name. But I always tell them, we have a different Jesus. And they come with a gospel. But it's not the true gospel. The Spirit's power. It's not the Holy Spirit of God that they're coming with. Do you understand? It's so important for us to be ready. See, they're coming with the Word of God, but the problem is, I know I'm over time. As a tent maker, you ladies get this, as a seamstress. Doesn't need to go this way.
Yes.
Well, tent maker, that the cuts had to be right. So when he if you take apart the Word of God, and you don't take it apart, when you put it back together again, what happens with it? Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Satanism. Do you get it? I mean, if you don't rightly divide truth, you get falsehood. The foolishness of the Israelites not to continually consult the Lord. Jesus said it was profitable for us for him to die, because when he died, he was going to send us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who was going to lead us into what? All truth. All truth. He will lead you into all truth. And he says, and what I have comes from the Father. But he'll lead you into all truth. So, understand my function. My function is the whole. He's given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints into the work of the ministry. I understand all that. And whose disciple ought you to be? Christ. Not but, anyways, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, he gives you a gift. He seals you with who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you to lead and guide you into all truth. This is a step of faith. This is a journey of faith. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God leads you into truth in his word? Men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe it. I don't believe I need commentaries to find truth. I believe God gave me his commentary. And that it is God inspired, God breathed. And that it by itself is everything I need to be instructed in righteousness. Now, am I saying there's no place for the daily breads and commentaries? But what I'm saying is, we fail because we don't consult God. We consult man. And that has its place. But the ultimate consultation needs to be to who? To God. 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 God is the one we want to be the head of this assembly. Not me, not Steve, not any other elder that is ever brought in. Christ is the head. The effect of the deception, the terms of the covenant. Israel will not attack Gibeon. Gibeon would be Israel's servants. On the term, we had these terms of it. What's the result? Is that it's to survive, okay? But in Gibeon's survival, that means that Israel can't what? They cannot fulfill God's challenge to them. Instantly, just like that. What was God's challenge to them? Declare the land. Declare the land. And instantly, because of this failure, because they gave their word. Remember, we talked about the vow. Okay? And so this is Sunday school. We talked about the vows again in Sunday school. They gave their word. They made the vow. Therefore, they had to honor the vow. And so Gibeon wasn't going to be removed. They left one of the termites in the land. How many termites would you leave in the wall? If you opened up the wall and you saw termites, Dom, I mean, just one. I mean, it's okay. But now they've left one of the termites. They've left the termite because they made a vow. Well, what's the long term? We don't have time to go into this. You can look what I have for you. But this goes all the way in the kingdom of David. God came and withheld his blessings from Israel during the time of David because Saul had broken the vow to the Gibeonites. And David said, so what? And the Gibeonites requested 7 of Saul's male descendants to be killed. Much later on, because of this decision, 7 men of Saul's line were slaughtered because Saul broke the covenant. God's covenant making as important. And just kind of out there in my thing. So I don't know, divorce, remarriage, and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, a divorce is the breaking of a vow. But you know, vows can be broken before the covenant is actually broken. What about business? When I make, if I tell you that the most labor I'm going to charge you is $2,000, then the most labor I'm going to charge you is $2,000. Even if that means I paid out $4,000 in labor, eat the because I made you a promise. If we got into something that was unforeseen, we'll put that in the bottom of our contract just to make sure, okay? Then we can talk about it. But if I underestimated the work, that's mine to eat, not yours to eat, because I told you, I made you a promise. I promise the material estimate, but I'm going to try to overestimate it so that it's a blessing to you. Does that make sense? And so, and this is not a spot for my business. But the point is, God has really worked me with that to understand the integrity of a man is bound up in his promise. And God held Israel to that promise for generations to come. So, in the end, how do you come to your decision? Do you remember the salt? Or do you look at the pocketbook? Do you look at the checkbook? Do you look at all the other the situations of life and you say, oh, I think we're going to do it? Or do you ask God, God, is this something? Maybe it's a job change, you know. I'm sure that's coming to your mind many times as you're finding the new job. God, what do you want me to do? I remember when I resigned from the previous church and I was trying to know as far as I'm going through the wilderness and what steps come and what, but I know I'm very secure that this is what he wants. So I'm very secure that he answers. How faithful are you to honor your commitments and covenants? Aren't you glad that God's not as unfaithful as we are? We must remain aware that as we move forward into the enemy's territory, opposition will arise. Some of that opposition is going to become as war. Some of that opposition is going to come as what? As a ruse. There's going to be deception that comes in. There, Paul says to the wolves that are going to come in, okay? Not only from the outside. Understand that? Been there, done that, okay? And so you learn lessons in life. Okay? And so the reality is we not allow anyone to leave us, distract us from what God has for us. We must keep seeking God's counsel and his strength. And then finally, is there any change, any need to the way you, that means what? Repent. Clearly, have sin within us. We all have a need to change the way we think in some areas. The Lord. Father, thank you that it is true and powerful and quick, sharper than a two-edged sword, that you use it, Lord, thunder between the soul and the spirit, between the bone and the heart, and that it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, I pray. And mightily, and that it would not come back void, and that you would needs to be revealed, but to not forget you, to not turn to the left nor to the right, seek your face. We would continue to seek your counsel, Lord, that you would continue to give us the grace which you've given be magnified in everything we say and everything we do. We ask. I have a verse. Number